Hello, and welcome to the Divorced Dadvocate, divorce support for dads, where we help dads create a healthy and less traumatic divorce. My name is Jude Sandoval, and I'm your host. I created this podcast and the Divorced Dadvocate community as a result of my own high conflict divorce, and because you as a dad deserve all the resources necessary to thrive through this challenging time. I encourage you to check out our website at thedivorcedadvocate.com, where there are resources that correspond to this episode, as well as free access to our membership community, where you will find live meetings, free workshops and courses, private discussion groups, and more. And now, on to this week's episode.
Hello, and welcome to this show. I'm so pleased that you are here today, and I am extremely excited to introduce my guest today. But before I do so, just a couple of show notes. Check out the Divorced Advocate website if you have not already. We've got a bunch of new members. Seems like these first couple of weeks, we've had many people signing up. I did forget the list, so I will have the list of our new members. But if you are a new member and you are listening, thank you for joining up, becoming part of the community. If you're not a new member yet, check it out at thedivorcedadvocate.com. Got all kinds of resources for you to help you through this difficult and challenging time, including the divorce quiz, which will help you to gauge kind of where you're at in your divorce process compared to others who have gone through it. That's at thedivorcedadvocate.com. The divorce quiz is on the divorce quiz tab. So I hope to see you and talk with you very soon. All right. Our show today is all about grace. And if you've listened to more than one of my podcasts, you've heard me talk about the four different areas of your life that are incredibly important to be developing throughout this this difficult and challenging time, one of those being your spirituality. And so today, my guest, I have the pleasure of introducing Sean Rentzel, hailing from my hometown here in Denver, Colorado. And together with his wife, Dana, he's nurtured six remarkable boys, which is unbelievable. And he's also served as pastor at Surrender Church. His journey includes planting multiple churches, all while providing guidance and coaching to fellow pastors and leaders in the church community. Sean's currently at the helm of Simple Grace, an organization dedicated to assisting churches in prioritizing the teaching and equipping of the church to embrace the doctrine of sanctification by grace alone. In addition to his impactful work, he's the author of Simple Grace, a Handbook for New Covenant Living, a book that intricately explores a fresh approach to connecting with God, deeply rooted in his abundant and life-giving grace. Let's extend a warm welcome to Sean Rentzel.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you being here today. And like I mentioned, one of the things that we talk about, particularly under the idea of self-care when we're going through this difficult and challenging time of divorce, is to make sure to develop your spirituality. And if that means further developing, if that means re-embracing, if that means rediscovering, that is an incredibly important thing to work on throughout this, because during this time of uncertainty, which is very difficult and challenging for men, dads in particular, in people in general, but in particular for dads and for men, because we don't like chaos or uncertainty and not a linear path, that having something, a connection to something that is bigger than ourselves, something that can help to anchor us, is incredibly important. And so on that note, if you will, please share with the listeners a little bit about your background and your story, because you've got an unbelievable divorce story as well, and kind of how that has taken you to do the work that that you've started to do here in and around grace.
Thank you. Absolutely. I think that these most challenging times are it's hope that we need. You know, we need hope because whether you know, you screwed up in your marriage. You need hope that there's forgiveness and there's restoration for yourself personally. And if your wife screwed up, you need hope. And if you both screwed up, you still need hope in that situation. You know, is there hope for people like us? So, you know, no matter what it is, what has happened that has broken this down, it hurts, you know, it hurts like hell. And it's something that when we go through it, it softens the hardest of hearts and says, man, maybe God it needs to be a part of this journey. And maybe I did some stuff, maybe some stuff has happened to me that are outside his plan. And I would really like to connect with that, you know, a little bit more. So, you know, that's the general sense of what's going on. I'll tell you a little bit about my story. I, you know, show up at Bible college, you know, and I showed up at Bible college. I was a very legalistic person. I thought I was better than everybody else because I was teaching Bible studies and telling people what to do. And you know, just my dad was a pastor. I just thought that I was big stuff. And I remember one time a girl, when I was young, I was teaching a Bible study and I was saying, do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this. I was just, you know, laying it out there. And she raised her hand and said, that's all sounds good, but how do we do that? And my response to her showed everything. I said, I think we're just supposed to try really hard. And in spirituality, that does not work. With Jesus, that does not work. The whole point of the gospel is not us trying harder. It's what Jesus has already accomplished for us. In marriage, that doesn't work. You know, it really isn't about how hard you try. It's something else. And so as I was learning, so I would show up at Bible college and this professor, the first thing he says is, if you think being a Christian is about how hard you try, I've got great news for you. It's actually the opposite. You know, there's life that's given to us for free, and that's called grace. It's all of the heavenly resources that God has designed to give us. He wants to be the supplier of everything for us. He is claims to be sufficient for every need that we have. And he's promises to give it to us for free. And the way that we walk in it, it's not by trying harder, like I said, but it's by abiding in Christ through humility and faith. Because God says he gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. And Romans 5:2 says we have access into this grace in which we stand by faith. So that basic principle of humility and faith was kind of changing my life, transforming my life. I was like, it just exploded in my mind and in my heart. And I was like, this is incredible. And I really believed it. And I'm 19. So this is like 23 years ago. I'm 42 now. And I meet a girl at Bible college and I just, you know, fell head over heels and, you know, we got married. We moved back to Colorado where we're serving in ministry. I'm a youth pastor in one place for a year. I moved down to Colorado Springs for another. And then I'm a youth pastor there at a big church. I got hundreds of kids. I'm leading mission trips here and there. You'd think looking on the outside that everything was hunky dory, but on the inside, you know, our marriage was not going well. And I go on a mission trip to Peru and I come back and I found out that there had been an affair, which I was clueless. I was shocked. I was, you know, so I'm sitting there reading it on a computer, just devastated, you know, and I guess one of the biggest problems I had is like, God, I was a virgin when I got married. I stayed pure. I did everything right, God. I lived my life to please you. Why do I have to go through something like this? And it was just that attitude that revealed as time went on why I had to go through something like this. And I did have to go through something like this to break me of my pride and self-sufficiency, to teach me to live humbly before God. There's a lot that I would end up learning. But that night, you know, I'm reading these emails that I found and I'm just devastated. And she's not there. She's disappeared. She's out drinking. And, you know, we had never even drunk alcohol. I'd never tasted alcohol. I was 21. And I, you know, we as a couple had never done anything like that. And, you know, she comes home, I confront her. And then God and I have this little conversation that is just really important in the moment right here. Cause I was so devastated. I was so desperate. And I, And I just said, God, what do I do? And to me, two paths were in front of me. One path was I had biblical grounds for divorce. You know, God said, you can get a divorce. You know, she's definitely slept with this guy, and it's, you know, blunt, but there it is, you know? And he said, but if you choose to forgive, I'm not going to promise you anything magical. It's not like there's going to be a, you know, magical transformation, but I will promise you that you'll know my character and my heart for you at a deeper level than you ever would have before. And that's what I've truly wanted in my heart. And so I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to forgive. So she came home, we started working through stuff, but she was very not into that. She didn't want to be a follower of Christ anymore. She wanted her relationships. She wanted her alcohol. She wanted it all. She wanted that life. So every night she would go out and I would have the same conversation with God. And when she would get home, he would give me a heart of love for her that I would be able to forgive her, wash her up, put her to bed, because she was coming home drunk every night. And it was crazy, dude. And I don't like recommend it. I don't say that this is what everyone needs to go through or should. This is just my story. Mm-hmm. And after a little while, she got pregnant, you know, from some other dude. And then she wanted to have an abortion and she had it scheduled. And I was like, please don't do this. Come home. We already had two boys at the time. And I'm like 23, 24. And I'm like, please don't do this. Come home and we'll raise that child. Let's just try to move forward. And she actually agreed at that point to move forward. And she came home, had the baby 6 months later. And that boy is my boy now. He's my third. 6 months later, she did it again. You know, wow. She just couldn't get away from that lifestyle. And this time she just left for good. Right. So I'm 24, single dad of three boys, just devastated. But through this time, I call it my seminary of suffering, because God was developing so much character in me and different kinds of love and patience, and the grace that I was learned about in my head was going down into my heart, changing me as a person. And, you know, to kind of round out the story, I told God, I'm not going to date. I don't even know who would be interested in me at this point, but, I just prayed that God would give me a wife that was faithful, that had been through something similar to, and someone that I had known. Like, I had all these weird requests. Well, the next morning after I prayed that, I had a message in my MySpace inbox that dates the story. And that message was from Dana, who is now my wife. She was a single mom of three boys. So we got married. We had six boys under six, you know, one with autism. So it was quite the thing, but we built a family together. And for the past 15 years, you know, I got four kids college age right now, two left at home, but not they're like senior and junior. So, and it's been incredible, you know, so, kind of built life back, you know, and both of us had our baggage. Both of us were really damaged. But we had learned, you know, some very simple lessons about trusting in God and loving each other, with patience and kindness. And that's been, kind of the foundation that we've gone on. And so that story, you know, I share it cause I was in ministry at the time. I share it with pastors and stuff like that. And it's been powerful. So I get a lot of ministry has kind of opened up through that. So that's kind of what I do. But, going back to the kind of theology of it, it's just, it's all about what God has promised to do for us. You know, he's promised to be there for us, and he's promised to never leave or abandon anyone who will, you know, place their confidence in Jesus as their savior. So that's kind of my story. What kind of thoughts does that put in your mind?
So that's an absolutely remarkable, remarkable story, Sean. And I think that, you know, myself, as well as many who are listening, can relate to that, who feel that they've been betrayed by another, betrayed by God, have had an experience that has challenged them like that. I want to point out and just say your results in finding somebody, having a family, is absolutely phenomenal. And I think that we can't argue with that your faithfulness and how you've gone through this process has resulted in a blessing in your life, and blessing with your boys, and blessing with your relationship and the work that you do in the community, et cetera. It's indisputable. What I would like to, and so just with that in that context, I don't think anybody can argue that. I can't argue that. I think that's phenomenal. I would like to go back to, when this happened, and talk about, you talk about how you forgave, and some would say, like, why would you even take her back? And then why would you even go to that next step, which is adopt and raise somebody else's son? And what was the process by which, because like I've had a similar experience, and I did not go about this the same way that you did. I would love to know how you did that and how grace fit in to that process.
Well, it's a lot of brokenness, I'll tell you, the things that were in my mind were just a few scriptures. One of them was Paul at the beginning of 2 Corinthians. He talks about some crazy suffering that he went through, and he doesn't even share like what it technically was. He just said he was burdened above measure, beyond strength, so that he despaired even of life. And that description just hammered me. I mean, that's like how I felt. Cause I would like just weep. I would just go in my car and weep during work. I would, I had a like really difficult time with my emotions. Right. Mm-hmm. And Paul there describes like, this is beyond measure, means you can't, if someone tried to measure how much I'm hurting right now, you couldn't do it. And I appreciated Paul saying that. And then above strength, meaning it doesn't matter how strong I am, I can't change this. I can't make it any better. And that, also I appreciated. And then he said he despaired even of life, which means, he thought death was appealing. And there's definitely, moments where that was in my mind. I was like, gosh, it would be easier to just die. Right. And so these thoughts going through, and then he says this very key thing. He says, I went through this so that I would learn to put my trust in God who raises the dead, not in myself.
Okay.
And so that, like that principle, that my problem was that I had trusted in myself too much. My problem is that I had leaned on my own understanding too much. My problem is I thought I knew what I was up to. I thought I knew what was best for my life. And what I learned is that even a marriage that looks dead is nothing for the God who can raise the dead.
Okay. Let's stop right there real quick, because I want to unpack that a little bit further. And I want to add some context for those that are listening that aren't Christian, that don't know the New Testament. Paul is an author of much of the New Testament, and the history of Paul is he was actually somebody that was killing Christians and had a divine experience and was transformed into a follower of Christ, and then became, arguably one of the most famous authors as well as disciple makers in history, right? And so the scripture that you quoted talks about his experiences, and some of his experiences are, I encourage anybody, Christian or non-Christian, that's listening to read and learn about Paul, because his life was remarkable. And he went through, like you described, some unbelievable torture and beatings and stonings and jailings and all kinds of stuff throughout his life, and to which you described what he writes as being, I'd much rather die than go through this, which I feel like some of us and you describe also feel like that going through this process. And you mentioned something about having hope, which softens the heart. I would almost describe it as it like breaks open our heart before it even, before it even softens our heart, because we kind of, what you started to get into was, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't have an understanding around what I needed to know in order to move forward. And so I just wanted to add some context in there. And so now we can kind of like talk about this, and what you're talking about now, like what we didn't know, what we, you know, what we were relying on upon our big human brains and our mental capacities around marriage or what our relationship was or what it's supposed to be, as opposed to having a better development of our spiritual life and our relationship with God that helps to guide us through that. So, so then continue on.
So, you know, you really nailed it, because that it's that relationship part, you know, that's been so wounded in us, you know, and that's what, where God makes a lot of promises to us. And it's these promises that kind of rebuild our faith in not only in ourselves or in God, but in just humanity itself. It's like, because God is able to love me and forgive me, you know, that, that is a relationship starter. You know, I can deal with a God who is willing to love me, to wash away all my sin, because all my screw ups, man, he did it, you know, because of Jesus on the cross. And then not only that, but invites me into a relationship where he says he'll never leave me or forsake me. For me, that was vital. You know, that took care of both issues, the issue of I felt guilty for the things I did and participated in that led to the demise of my marriage. He loved me past through that. And that relationship was vital to me. And then the things that she did that I had no control over, he was there and he said he would never do those things to me. He would never abandon me. And he understood what I felt in those situations, because he was abandoned by his family. And all these things that I started to learn about God's character as I studied the life of Jesus. And so it's that relationship, and that, and it's certainly, I'm not talking about religion, right? That's certainly not, I hope that's not what comes across, but it's a real relationship with God who invites us into a real relationship with him. And he just so happens to, can, you know, put, place that invitation in a book, and hands that to us. And there it is for us, you know, every single person.
Let me play devil's advocate a little bit, because, you know, I'm Christian. I agree with you 100%, but let me play devil's advocate, because, you did everything right. You took the steps that were right in getting married and keeping yourself pure. Yet you did have to have this experience. Speak to that. 'Cause there's lots that would say, hey, well, you know what? You did everything right, Sean, and you didn't deserve this. You shouldn't have had to experience this. You know, why, you know, how and why did this deepen your relationship? Don't you feel betrayed?
And the truth is that when you go through that, you do have some of those feelings, but you realize those are rooted in my pride of thinking I was something, because there were a lot of missteps in my life. There was pornography. There was, you know, pride in dealing with the relationship, expectations that I had, that I had put on her, and then a lack of leadership, you know? So those are the things that always got me, you know. I didn't have like the blatant, like, I'm going to go get drunk or high sins or have an affair, but in my heart, I was guilty of all the same things. And that changes you, you know, that's different.
Let's talk about that briefly for a second too, because we talk quite a bit about this being an opportunity for us to then have to focus. You touched on it, have to focus on only what we can do and what we can control, because we don't have control of our wife or our soon to be ex-wife or whatever it might be, and so in recognizing that, we have a truly unique opportunity at this time to really dial in and look, because we're broken open, right? And looking at, you know, you described, well, I didn't have some of these things, but I still had things. And my point is that we all still have things, and we've all still contributed something to the relationship that has created this circumstance where it yeah. then is not successful, and ultimately we end up in divorce and have to go through this. Yeah. So,
and I think a huge part of it is the lack of humility, right?
Yeah.
You know, that was the root problem of most things. And I think, you know, I've done a lot of marriage counseling, in my ministry kind of career, and, mm-hmm. you know, men are the cause of a lot of problems because of our pride, you know, sure. because we refuse to accept, or we refuse to look at other people's needs. And we just are very self-centered, you know, and I was that, and I still am, you know, mm-hmm. and that's where, the truth I was learning about grace, where God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. I started to see, like, my troubles came to me because of my pride. And I started to see God had sent me warning after warning after warning, and then I had ignored those things. And, you know, I relied upon works. I relied upon my reputation. I relied upon, you know, I'm a good person, so I don't deserve these things. And that's where God transformed my life, was if you're going to understand the gospel and understand what Jesus did, it has nothing to do with how good you are and what you accomplished for him. It's what he did for us that's brought to us in this exchange of grace, where he gives us what we don't deserve for free, and forgives all that we did also for free. And so that, you know, there we go.
Well, so you brought up pride, but then you talked mm-hmm. about, you know, finding humility through this, mm-hmm. which, again, for some of us guys, not all guys, but I think I probably relate to and fall in the same category as you did, right? Being prideful, finding that humility. And so you really, you humbled yourself in this process of, you know, then taking her back. And mm-hmm. so walk us through that, and walk us through, maybe some tools to help yeah. us to humble ourselves around stuff like that, because I'll be honest, I didn't. Yeah. And it took me years to get to that and to understand that, before I really started to do that. And I'm still not even close to there.
Yeah. Well, it seems like humbling yourself is adding pain on top of pain. Right. So you're like, why would this help me? Right. But, because what's going on in our soul is that, you know, if you're a believer, God gives you his Holy Spirit, which is kind of leading you towards this love response, but my flesh doesn't agree. Like my mind, will, and emotions, which we call the flesh in theology. That's the part. Jesus doesn't come in and fix that part. He doesn't fix our mind and how we think. He doesn't fix our will or emotions, but he fixes your spirit. He gives you a new life identity, but it has nothing to do. It doesn't fix all the stuff that the way we think. So that part and my spirit were going two separate directions. You know, and so I had this battle of flesh versus spirit, where my spirit wanted to do God's will, wanted to love, even though it was difficult. And my flesh was like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give this person who I really don't respect anymore, and I don't care about at the way that I used to, and I've lost a lot of, you know, that love for, I'm not going to lay down my life for this person. But then the spirit would come in, and he would point me to Jesus and just say, look at him. Mm-hmm. Everyone rejected him, and he still laid down his life. And so I had to go through these. I mean, this is like a moment by moment struggle. Like, am I going to make the choice to identify that it's him living inside me? And am I going to walk in his love, or am I going to continue walking after my own way? And there was lots of both, right? But the Lord did give me strength to do a lot of good things that hopefully give him glory, you know, in the end, because that is my goal. is, you know, I think in a lot of us, here's the thing. Our goal is to not feel pain.
Right.
And whether getting our out human of the goal. Relationship. Yeah, exactly. So whether it's getting out of the relationship or numbing it through drugs or alcohol or video games, there's so many things that we can turn to avoid pain. But sometimes the path we have to go through is pain. And there's just no other way around it. And if we kind of accept that and say, pain isn't my enemy, but sin is my enemy, then we have this path through that says, I'm going to, no matter what happens to me, no matter how it feels, I'm going to love. No matter how people treat me, I'm going to respond with love.
Right.
That's the only tool that we got is love. Right. And the only way to do any of that is by the empowering grace of God, where you say, God, I need you because I can't do this. Right. And his response is, I can. Trust right. me. And that's how we actually learn to grow in faith is we say, I couldn't do it. I could not do anything. I didn't want to do it.
Right.
But God, you know, he gave me a new heart. He helped me. And when I failed, he never yelled at me. He said, good try, son. You know, it's okay. And because he knows what we're going through. And that's like the biggest thing for me is like I had compassion from God. He wasn't mad at me. Like he was proud. Right. I know that he was proud of me for the few times I did trust in him. It felt like so.
Right. And so you mentioned suffering. You ultimately went through and suffered through quite a bit more in the relationship, but mm-hmm. help then to us to understand then what that humility then brought to the success of your subsequent relationship and your marriage, and then how yeah. you know, how that served to blossom.
Well, you know, we are far from perfect people, and you know, I've grown more since then than even that these moments of divorce. And they were pretty formative, but this new marriage has been difficult at many points. Both I brought brokenness into it. She brought brokenness into it. I was blind to most of my brokenness. And if you think your second marriage is going to be easier or better than your first, just because it's your second marriage, you know, that's not how it works. Both of you are coming in with major, hangups and it was rough. You know, there's been a lot of rough parts. But in the end, like it's paved the way for there to be a ton of fruit of love in our lives. You know, humility has paved that way. Again, God gives grace to the humble. So we have been blessed, not because of what we do, but because we kind of acknowledge that we're broken. We acknowledge that we are needy. You know, the way I came into the marriage is like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to trust anyone ever again. And so can you work with me in that? Can you guard my heart? And you know, she's been nothing but faithful in that task that I gave her to guard my heart. And you know, so there you go.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And I think what I would like to emphasize of what you just said there is, you know, acknowledging that our imperfections, right? You cut sin, imperfections, you know, mm-hmm. not living up to the way that you should live your best life, et cetera. And then placing, you know, and then having grace with yourself as well as your partner going forward, knowing that there's like you mentioned it earlier and I wanted to hit on that too, like works. We can't like just keep improving ourselves in order to get better or have grace or God's love or anybody's love, right? It's there. And so just acknowledging those imperfections and then centering ourselves in something that has a bigger meaning in our lives.
There you go. I think you summarized it quite well.
All right, good. Well, and the reason I want to do that is because, you know, I've had much of the similar experience that you're describing and without, you know, but not having experienced and having another relationship in a marriage, which I would desire. I firmly believe in marriage, and I would love to get married again. But you know, God's path has obviously been different for me. But one of the, what you're hitting on, what you're talking about with humility and grace and the works thing, you know, my whole thing and my whole persona is about perfection and, you know, doing good. I was raised Catholic also. And so that kind of works into the whole thing of having to, you know, be legalistic and doing this and achieving that in order to have God's love and grace. And, you know, I was never going to live up to Christ and, you know, the idealization of the life that you're supposed to be living. And so that's why I really want to emphasize to the guys that are listening, to the dads that are listening, that it's not about all of that stuff. So wherever you're at in your spiritual or religious journey, it's not about that. And your message, Sean's message of grace is so incredibly important, because, you know, there is suffering going on. There's going to continue, like you said, like second marriage wasn't a cakewalk, right? There's still work and suffering too. There is going to continue to be that, but there is something bigger and greater that you can anchor to that is going to take you through that. And so on that note, and we've got, you know, a little bit of time left, but talk about that in centering your life, but also your relationship in Christ and having God be the center of that, as opposed to however we might be doing it in our society these days, and how that's benefited you and kept you together now for 15 years, six boys, dude. I mean, that's a lot, right? And you know, everything that goes on, and you know, the ministry and all the work that you guys have been doing. Help us, help us with that.
Absolutely. You know, challenges come, and I think they come because these trials and these challenges and these difficulties that daily come into our lives and come in usually as strife between husband and wife. Usually, you know, I think God kind of mixes things up a little bit to show us what we are, you know, to show us what we're struggling with. Because if we didn't have this mixing up, we kind of would just be, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. Where maybe we're not really doing all right, but just nothing is stirring it up so that we don't see what's kind of settled onto the bottom layer of our, you know, Coke can there or whatever. Right. So these trials, you know, the growth that I've seen is that they is just more selflessness, right? Like I used to be really bad about, like, my time is mine and, you know, don't bother me. Don't require something of me that's above and beyond. And, you know, my wife has been so amazing at gently teaching me, like, we are united. So my needs come before your needs. And especially as in a Christian mindset, the husband is to serve the wife always. So I get up first. I go to bed last. I take care of everything. I do dishes. I do laundry when it's needed. I'm stepping up in those ways where I never did before. And you might think, well, that's just like super immature of you. But yeah, I mean, I grew up and the dad was this and that. And I had these influences in my life that were like, this is what marriage should look like. And I had to relearn how to be married from Jesus, not from all the examples that I had in my life growing up. And I had some good examples and I had some not so good examples. It's amazing how much just culture just impacts you and impacts the way you have expectations. Mm-hmm. So now my expectations, I have gone down lower and lower and lower. And the more that I just have served my wife, the happier we've been. You know, the more that I just say, I'm not that busy. Like, let me arrange my life so I'm not that busy. Right. Let me plan to serve my wife. And that's been maybe means that I'm less effective or less productive, but that's okay. because my marriage is so much more important than whatever I'm going to do for my job.
Right. So centering that in Christ with that selfless mindset in manner, having the humility to do so, and then having that mindset of, you know, like you mentioned, she says, like, we're doing this together. Like, this is you and I together, mm-hmm. you know, in one, as one. Yeah. Is, you know, that's a phenomenal message. And like you said, it's very muddled in our modern society, and it's mm-hmm. very confusing also because of some of the religious context of how we're supposed to show up in you know, in a marriage as a man and a woman, et cetera, and how it may have been taught in, you know, in some places over you know, over the decades or the millennia. So I think that's beautiful what you described. And also, I would also add with the men and the dads that are listening to, that's also going to vary dependent upon your relationship and what you design with your wife, but or future wife, or if you're able to save your marriage. But the point is the selflessness, the humility, and then the coming together in keeping that centered in God and in Christ, so that you know that is anchored in something that is greater than what you said earlier, like our just flesh and what our wants are and our needs and our desires that just, you know, come up.
Yeah. So every marriage I've ever seen crash and burn, every single one of them, it's because of selfishness. And yep. I'd say 9 out of 10 of them, it was selfishness on the husband that started it. You know, and it might not have been selfishness of the husband that ended it. But 9 times out of 10, it was what started it. Because, you know, a lot of times the whatever the wife does is generally a response to how they've been treated or something like that. And so that's just the reality. Like, there's a great weight of what happens in our families that lays on the shoulder of husbands. And so we think that there's a lot we have to do. And yes, there is a lot to do to have a family that operates and a wife that feels secure and loved, and kids that grow up with structure that they need and love that they need. That's a lot of work. You know, that's why there should be so much more training and organizations like this one that advocate for, you know, people in all sorts of situations. You know, there should be help. You know, if you think about it, where did you learn how to be a parent? Where did you learn how to be married?
Yeah.
From people who were really flawed.
Right.
You know,
And
most of us grew up and my parents got divorced when they were 2 years old. When I was 2 years old,
right.
You know, that was how I grew up. And so, you know, we're fooling ourselves if we think that's, and so many times we're like, why did I do what I did? Well, because that's how my parents did it.
Exactly. Like,
if we just had a source of truth that was external and removed from the situation that we could look to and be like, here's the solid yes, no, this is what needs to happen, that is so helpful. It's the best tool that we could have.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And, you know, we're getting into biblical leadership of, you know, as a husband and a father, et cetera, which we don't have time for, is a whole nother podcast. And maybe we get together, we do that again soon. But yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, we don't know. And fortunately, you know, others of us have had these experiences, and God's allowed us to have these experiences so that we can grow closer to Him, but also grow better as dads and fathers, as well as husbands too. So we talked oftentimes on the show this is an opportunity to be able to learn and go forward. And so I think I want to wrap it up, at least for this part, on that note. But before we completely wrap up, share with the audience a little bit about your book, as well as your organization and how people can get in touch with you, talk with you more, because this message is absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you. So I wrote a book called Simple Grace, A Handbook for New Covenant Living. But if you just look up on Amazon, Simple Grace is the top thing that shows up there. It's also on Audible. So I know, men, we like to listen to our Audible books. So I got a great, just a beastly, he's a voice of a barbecue sauce in Texas. He narrated my book. So I really love that. But Simple Grace, and if you would love to connect with me, I'd like to engage with you. My website is simplegrace.life. simplegrace.life. There's a contact form there, and I'll be your friend. You can just send me a message and we can chat. I'm, you know, scheduling, going and speaking at churches and organizations, and I do a lot of public speaking. So that's one thing I do. I'm starting a podcast, which will be the Simple Grace Podcast, really kind of exclusively talking about, the new covenant of grace that Jesus brings us. And so I'll be doing some interviews. I'll probably have you on there as well.
Awesome.
And so podcasts, I do some videos and reels and stuff on YouTube or Facebook and Instagram, but it's all kind of, you could find it all on simplegrace.life, which is my website. So that's where to get in touch with me. I'd love to do, I call it counseling, but, you know, just be a friend to anybody who's going through anything. So send me a message and I'll carve out some time to spend some time talking through any of these issues with you, with whoever is out there listening to this. So I just make myself available. I do this as a full-time ministry, so I'm supported, you know, I'm raising support to be a missionary of grace. So that's kind of what I do.
Okay. And where can people help to support that as well? Simplegrace.life also?
Yeah. On their website, there'll be a little link saying, how can I join the team and support the mission? And that's right there.
Awesome. So go check it out. Go check out the website. Definitely buy the book and support Sean and connect with him. And if you found value in this, please share it far and wide. Share it on social media. Give us a comment, give us a star rating on whatever platform you might be listening on. It helps us to get the word out there and get more of the dads to the support that they need and deserve. Sean Rentzel, thanks so much for being here today. I truly appreciate all that you shared and the work that you're doing, and God bless you.
Thanks a lot, Jude. Appreciate it.
To hear the rest of this episode and access the corresponding resources, visit thedivorcedadvocate.com and become a member of our community. It's free to join and will provide you with the resources you deserve as a divorced or divorcing dad. Thank you for listening. God bless, and I'll talk with you next week.